AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141-951-1025.
That time on a Saturday where we want to find out how you're feeling about all things Scottish football. So let's hear from you on 0141-951-1025. Get in touch and let us know if it is an immediate reaction to today's games. I think I'm probably looking at you, St Mirren and Kilmarnock fans in this part of the world. St Mirren fans, where did that go wrong? You wouldn't have seen that coming. How annoying and frustrating was it? And on the flip side, Killy fans, are you starting to maybe show that this could be a better season for you than some would have predicted? Maybe you included. Hugh alluded to it earlier. Not a great deal of love around the appointment of Stuart Kettlewell, but in the last couple of weeks, some very impressive results up the table now. So how pleased are you? The form of David Watson as well, worth commenting on for sure. If we look ahead, firstly, we'll get to the Edinburgh Derby. We'll get some pre-match thoughts there if you want. A 5:45 kickoff. And what about tomorrow, Rangers fans, for the 150th day in a row on Clyde One Super Scoreboard? We're asking you for your thoughts on Russell Martin, because it evolves every day. It might not change, but today it's another interview this morning. Sky Sports trying to address the mentality comments, trying to talk about Max Aaron saying the crowd's getting to them, saying that he doesn't like the fact that fans are confronting Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart in hotels. So give us all your thoughts there, and then heading to the game to Falkirk tomorrow. For you Celtic fans, maybe a bit more football focused, if you like. So your disappointment on the pitch the other night, does that result in changes tomorrow? Could we genuinely see team selection calls as big as Kasper Schmeichel not playing, or Callum McGregor not playing, or Dyson Maeda not playing? Or will all of the above retain the faith of the manager for now? Whatever it is you've got for us, 0141 951 1025. A good mix, Hugh, of a nice day so far, but plenty of action still to come.
Yeah, and I think tomorrow's matches are of vital importance for all involved. Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen certainly need to get off the bottom of the table and quickly, but the Old Firm, they're a shambles, and they have to improve radically tomorrow. Celtic at home to Motherwell, not scoring goals. Two matches now, back to back, five in the season altogether, no goals for Celtic. This is virtually unheard of. And for Rangers, they have to eliminate defensive mistakes. They have to improve, not the mentality, because he didn't mean mentality, he meant concentration. They have to improve their concentration against Falkirk. Vital day for the Old Firm tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's massive for the two clubs. I think where you can give the criticism of Celtic and Rangers just now is simple for me. I don't think Motherwell will go to Celtic Park tomorrow with fear. I don't think they'll sit back and try and park the bus like it's went on for years and years at Celtic Park, hope to get them the counter and sneak something. I think Mother will go toe-to-toe. I think it'll probably suit Celtic. I think they'll get better players. But Hugh's quite right in saying they have to start scoring goals. Their big players need to step up. They're not stepped up at all lately. You then look at Rangers. Once again, we know the criticism that manager will come under from the minute he gets off that team bus until the minute he gets back on it. Doesn't matter what the score is. And then if you look up at Pittodrie, Aberdeen need a win.
What a day it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm actually looking forward to what seeing what Aberdeen produce. I think Dazzler's right when he was speaking earlier. I think them two goals against Shakhtar will give them a lot of confidence going forward, because as we all know, they haven't scored in the Premiership this season. So I'm looking forward to see what they do. I think Hatate comes back into midfield for Celtic and he'll make a difference. I agree again with Dazzler that Motherwell will play right into Celtic's hands tomorrow. They'll be too expansive and Celtic will nick the ball off them in midfield and score a couple. Rangers, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm fairly certain that if they don't get the 3 points, it's the end of the road.
Oh my goodness. I mean, we've said that before, haven't we?
I know, but I really don't think it.
But you really do believe it this time?
No.
You don't?
I don't think the American owners are of a mind to sack him. I'd love to hear. We're always asking for transparency. We occasionally hear from Patrick Stewart or Kevin Delwell. We never, ever hear Andrew Kavanagh open his mouth. We don't know what he sounds like. But I do not get the impression that he, Andrew Kavanagh, is of a mind to sack the manager.
The only thing I'd say, Hugh, is if he did lose tomorrow, then they've got that breathing space of the international week, haven't they? The international break. I'm agreeing with you because I look and I thought he'd have been going by now. There's no signs of him going. We're not hearing anything that they're having meetings to say, look, he's got two games to sort it out. But he can't keep going the way he's going. It's impossible. You cannot keep going the way you're going as a football manager.
And really interested, Gordon, as we said, more about Celtic just on the pitch tomorrow. It's not to say that they don't still have other stuff we know about, transfer window boards and all that stuff, but it just feels like that's where it's going to come to a head now a bit for Celtic, because Brendan Rodgers has acknowledged that he now can't do anything about it. He has to find solutions. We saw him change his shape at half time, which we very rarely see. Did they have as much personnel as they would like? Probably not, but they might have to change something. They can't just keep playing the same team the same way and just sort of hoping that it magically gets better.
You know, it's funny to say, I think it's a big day for Brendan Rodgers as well. Brendan Rodgers is sort of a, you know, he's just keep him under the radar a little bit here, because the fans have certainly went against the board, the protests against that. You look over the city, if Russell Martin had got off to a great start with Rangers and he's sitting up there near that top of the league, I think all focus would be on Brendan Rodgers. He's right, he's changing shape, he's changing personnel, he's making those substitutions, he's not scoring goals. Yes, against Hibs, I thought they were a bit unfortunate. The other night there, I just thought Braga eventually played them off the pitch and deserved to win it. I know they had a wee burst in the second half, unfortunately, with the VAR decision. But it's a big game for Brendan Rodgers. I think Brendan Rodgers will come in for a bit of criticism if he doesn't get a result tomorrow.
He's already started. You know, fans have complained about the boring style of football. They're getting agitated now. It's not just about the board. And Celtic will face a critical audience at home tomorrow. They really have to start quicker, try and score a goal, and placate the crowd. But if it's another long day, then Brendan Rodgers has the Motherwell game. He also has Hearts away before the end of the month. And on the 2nd of November, he's got Rangers in a cup semi-final. Everything's coming towards Brendan Rodgers and Russell Martin, for that matter. They, the pair of them, now have to come up with answers.
And as you say, though, we do this a lot. If I think of the numerous days and nights we've had on this show, especially on a Saturday, where a team goes to Celtic Park and gets a result. They grind out a 0-0 or a 1-1. And we get loads of calls from Celtic fans going, oh, teams just come in, they just sit and park the bus. And we always say, well, you're entitled to do that because you're going against a team with an astronomical budget and you're just trying to dig in and get something. Motherwell won't do that.
Not at all.
And you never know, though, that might be what Celtic want, which is just, that's the difficulty when you're trying to do things a certain way.
Gordon, I think 100% that's what Celtic want. I think Celtic right now are finding it difficult to break teams down. So they want to go toe-and-toe to with another team that's prepared to play football. One thing I like about the Motherwell manager just now, he's not been arrogant, but he's been truthful. He says, I'm going to Celtic Park to win. I think it'll be a massive ask because I think Celtic will get better players. But in the current form, nothing's impossible.
Saturday evening, 5 to 6, you know what that means? It's your calls. We need to 01419511025. John is on first of all. How are you, John?
I'm not bad, yourself.
Good, thanks. Good. What are you thinking?
Just regard to the Celtic game the other night against Braga at Celtic Park. I thought Kasper Schmeichel's saves could have been a lot better. And I thought Kobe Donovan played quite well himself, but I thought he could have put a wee bit more in to the game.
Well, he got hooked, didn't he, Kobe Donovan, which again, Gordon, this is, it would be wildly over the top of us, even us, to sort of write him off, chastise him, criticise him. He's a young player, he's come in, he's done excellent. It's just one setback. But what it probably is that it's a wee step back from people who maybe thought brilliant. Mm. This guy's in. Look how good he was away in Belgrade, which he was, and keep him in, and he's better than Ralston. And maybe just a wee reminder that stepping into first team football is not that easy.
I thought he struggled with the minutes he had. I liked to look at him up until then. I thought he was a wee bit lucky to lose his position, his place against, was it Hibs they brought Ralston back?
That was a resting thing.
I know that, but I would have probably rather just kept the momentum going for him. I think coming out of the team then getting back in it didn't do him any favours the other night there. And obviously Brendan Rodgers removed him at half time, and that's probably to get the formation sorted out. Schmeichel, I think some of Schmeichel's decision making lately has got to come into question. And there's no doubt in the world, Gordon, and there's no excuses about, well, Paul might have swear. Schmeichel should be saving that easily all day long.
I think Schmeichel will keep his place because Brendan Rodgers brought him there, is respectful of his standing within the club. I think he'll keep his place, but any more mistakes tomorrow and you've got to look at Brendan Rodgers and say, you have to change that. They do have a problem at fullback. Colby Donovan is an emerging talent. He's a teenager. His time will come. But they really desperately miss Alistair Johnson on the right-hand side. And at the moment, on the left-hand side, Kieran Tierney is not an upgrade on Greg Taylor. Kieran Tierney is toiling along with other players.
John, time to change Kasper Schmeichel, or is that too early for that sort of stuff?
Well, I think it's a bit early now for all that kind of stuff, but I get what you say with Tierney, but I think Sarachi deserves a chance as well.
Yeah.
In that left back role.
He's a much better proposition right now. Forward going, likes a shot as well. There's more energy about him. And the one thing that Celtic lack is energy. Backwards, forwards, sideways, and they're boring the crowd now.
What do you think about the goalkeeper, Ross? Because I think if we're being fair, I think maybe David Friel, someone brought it up earlier, he started the season pretty well.
Yeah, he has. Listen, I'll be totally honest with you, Gordon. I played years ago with Kasper, and probably the best thing about him was when he had the ball at his feet. He was very composed on the ball, never really made many mistakes at all with the ball at his feet. So it's worrying now that you look at it the other night, three or four times he passed the ball out of the pitch. Just not like him at all. Personally, I don't think he's ever been the most agile of goalkeepers in terms of when people are having shots against him. I think he's fantastic when he's coming out and he's spreading himself, but when you're asking him to save shots from 20 yards that are going in the top corner and stuff, personally, I don't think he's ever been that agile. But the worrying part for me is with the ball at his feet, because that's always been his strongest suit, and it seems to have deserted him at this moment in time.
The worrying thing about the other night, Gordon, is it wasn't going in the top corner, and you whether going with the wrong hand, yes, but maybe just kind of moving his feet, didn't even really need to dive that much, because no. The ball ends up dipping kind of towards him a little, almost.
I don't know what you're thinking, Gordon. You'd need to ask the goalkeeper, because that is just a run in the mill save. There's no doubt. The lad was, I think he came up on the screen 33 yards out. I thought it was a bit further out than that, but he's seen that ball all day long. It's not swerving, it's not moving at great speeds. A goalkeeper, any goalkeeper, I would have criticised if he can't keep that out of the back of net. Look, I think I'm with you. I think he will start with him tomorrow. I think they've got bigger issues. I think I'm looking at the Midland Park. They've not got that spark. They've not got that energy. Hugh's talking about they're playing side to side, which they are, slow football. I think that comes from Midland Park as well. I think that energy's gone just now for me. And I think they need to rekindle that. They've got good options in there, but they need to get the balance right. And right now, and I will say it, and I've said that, not being dropped because I've got too much respect for him, I think Callum McGregor needs taking out the team. I really do.
What do you mean not dropped then? It's dropped.
I think you look at the amount of games that Callum's played.
But he's retired from international duty. Hold on, we've had an international break 3-4 weeks ago, which he didn't play. He won't play next week. He gets his rest next week. If you don't want him in the team tomorrow, he's dropped.
Right.
That's not rest.
But he plays in games like, they go to Fir Hill, right, against Mark's Partick team. No disrespect. Why is Callum McGregor playing another 90 minutes or whatever he plays there?
But I don't think that's the issue, though. He has gone off the boil badly. But that area of the park, there's no one doing anything.
Yeah.
Hatate, Engels,
Nygren.
McCowan,
Bernardo looked a bit better the other night, maybe.
Again,
I think Bernardo deserves a run in the team, right?
Why? I don't know why.
Because he's been left out, and you can't just bring him in the other night there, Ross, and go, right, we'll judge him. Give him a run in the team. No, give him, you know, put people in there. I think Hatate needs to find that form. But the one thing about Hatate is he gives you energy, Gordon. He gives you energy going forward. And I know he's not playing well, but he's not alone in there. I just feel that Celtic are very, very slow in the middle of the park just now, and then it gets back to the defenders, it comes out wide again. Fans are hating this style of football just now. They've got too many good players in there. And sometimes you have to look at players that are not in form, and let's be honest, and Celtic fans will be on here going off their head that you're criticising the great Callum McGregor, which he has been. He's been absolutely right. He's been brilliant for Celtic, and we're not denying. But there comes a point where you go, you can't just keep playing a player because of his past record for me.
Okay, let's leave it there. So everyone on the call and in the studio, critical of Kasper Schmeichel, but not ready to drop him out the team. So if you've got any differing thoughts, please do share them on a Saturday evening. We end up spinning a few plates looking back on today's action and forward to tomorrow. So let's do the former with Simon, who's a Kilmarnock fan. You must be delighted with that result today, beating St Mirren by 2-0.
Hi Gordon, hi panel, hope you're all doing well. Yeah, absolutely delighted. I think you know, none of the Kilmarnock fans wanted Stuart Kerr when we came in. That's been well documented, but we all, unlike the, you know, the Rangers fans, we're willing to give him a chance, and we weren't anything about him personally. You know, we were willing to see if he could prove us all wrong, and you know, I'm delighted to say he has. I think that we've really, really quietly went about our business. I think St Mirren are getting so much praise, Motherwell getting a lot of praise for the way they're playing football, but we've quietly just rebuilt an entire squad, and up to third now in the league with we absolutely battered St Mirren today, bullied them from the first minute. You know, the cup game, we stood off them, and we almost let them bully us for large spells, but it looks like we learned our lesson from that, which is what you can ask for a manager. Obviously, managers are going to make mistakes. You know, you're not going to beat Kelly if you're the perfect manager, but, you know, he clearly learned from his errors in the last time he played St Mirren a few weeks ago, and, yeah, another comfortable win. Two clean sheets, 2-0 wins in a row. Tough games. Again, games I don't think many people would have predicted we'd get anything out of Dundee United and St Mirren today. So yeah, absolutely chuffed and just delighted to see, you know, a brand new squad clicking so quickly and moving up the table.
How impressive is that, the word you used, kind of bullying, and you're really deserving it, because like St Mirren are not invincible, they're not unbeatable, they're not going to never lose games, but very, very few teams do that to them, Simon.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're not like flat track bullies like we were under McInnes. You know, when we had our season where we finished fourth in the league, we got there by being big, strong, and you know, fighting hard. I think, you know, you're looking at the team, especially today with David Watson's goal. When we were, I don't understand why Derek McInnes started playing him so deep last season. You know, he's not a defensive midfielder; he's an attacking midfielder. He's winning that kind of shadow striker role where he's always, you know, pushing his last of the midfield. If there's one thing that's going to stop Hearts challenging the worst Rangers and Celtic teams in a generation, it's Derek McInnes' meddling, because he doesn't know how to just settle a team and just play players in the right positions. And I know that's the criticism from some Hearts fans already. But with Davy Watson playing that further up the park, he's in that advanced role, which allows, you know, the other midfielders, Polworth especially, sitting deep, who can dictate the tempo. He looks like a different player this season as well. But it's the new boys I've been really impressed with. Like James Brown came in from County. He was probably brought in to be third choice right back, because we've obviously lost Jamie Brandon, who had a great start to the season. We've lost Ben Brannan, who's still just coming back from an injury. They'd be the first two choice right backs. And I think James Brown today was excellent at right back. I think Dom Thompson again at left back was another one who Kelly fans were a bit meh about, but he's been fantastic. The back three looks really, really good. Stanger looks like a really good addition. Max Stryek, the goalkeeper, and big Marcus Dacos up front. I'm so delighted for him. He got his goal. He's such a handful. He's a brilliant, brilliant player to watch. So much fun. Chaos factor. But yeah, like you say, the bullying aspect and being able to play some really good football at
Simon,
the moment.
Simon, you raised the Russell Martin question there. Is it easier or harder for Kilmarnock fans to give Stuart Kettlewell time, having been hostile towards his appointment in the first place? Is it easier or harder for you than it is for Rangers supporters to allow Russell Martin time?
I don't think the two are really. We're less of a toxic fan base. Let's be honest. The Rangers fans have this idea in their head of where they should be, and financially, that's just not going to happen immediately. You know, it's going to take a lot of time to get Rangers back to where they believe that they should be. Whereas Kilmarnock, you know, it has been a lot of work as well. We've changed an entire squad. That is not easy. But obviously, the Kilmarnock fans aren't the easiest fan base to please either. You know, we're a tough bunch sometimes, and I think some of the criticisms, especially early on, were maybe a little bit unfair. Well, we're still learning about Stuart Kettlewell, but listen, you know, the Rangers fans expect to be something that is probably unachievable at this moment in time, whereas Kilmarnock, what we would have been quite happy this season with, you know, pushing for top six, you know, running the cup, which obviously we didn't get, which was unlucky going out in penalties. But I feel like yeah, we've given Stuart Kettlewell a chance, which I don't think Rangers fans have ever done with their manager. But yeah, just absolutely delighted. I can't wait. We've got obviously the game against Hearts next up in the league at Rugby Park, a nighttime kickoff. That's going
to
be a...
See, to be fair on that though, you could say that, in credit to Stuart Kettlewell, he's given the Kilmarnock fans something to buy into that Russell Martin hasn't yet. But anyway, we don't need to spend too much time comparing the two. For the second week in a row though, it feels like Kilmarnock have got a result that other people kind of sit up and take notice.
Yeah, I tipped him up at Tannadice. There's something about them. What I think, and I tipped him today. One,
you're on fire with these predictions,
but,
honestly.
But I've got to say, what I think the difference is Stuart Kettlewell's went to Kilmarnock. He's playing this three at the back formation that he likes, and he's got the personnel. And as Simon said there, he's using Watson in the right position, and he's on fire just now, scoring goals. Obviously, there'll be a lot of big clubs looking at him. He's a great prospect, a very, very good player. Look, I think that Kilmarnock, I think Dundee United, I think teams like that, it's roller coasters in the season for them. You know, they'll hit that point where, like Dundee United at the beginning, they were riding high and everybody was thinking, oh, Dundee United are at home, Tannadice, they're going to win. Kilmarnock are a little bit like that now. St Mirren have had a little bit of that. But all credit, while you're getting it, and Simon's quite right, as a Kilmarnock supporter, go and enjoy it.
Good insight into the mind of a Kilmarnock fan there. What about you, Rangers fans? Not heard from you yet. Still every day wanting your latest thoughts on Russell Martin and what it looks like tomorrow. Any more on the Celtic team to face Motherwell tomorrow as well? Get them in, and we're getting closer to that Edinburgh derby as well. Let's hear from you.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. Why not join in? It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet at Clyde SSB as well. I'm sure we'll start hearing from some of today's managers. I'd like to... Your number one choice would be Stephen Robinson.
Without doubt, yeah. Five substitutions made by the 63rd minute is the work of an angry man. And an angry man who doesn't hold back on his feelings and doesn't hold back on sharing his feelings with the public. So I'd be keen to hear his assessment of a very bad day at the office.
I totally agree. Listen, before the play started, he was sitting in third. He's a semi-final of a cup. So one bad day doesn't, you know, put a season into the situation doubt, but he'd be very angry at that, going down to Kilmarnock. Probably in the manner they lost. Listen to David Friel, listen to Simon there. Thought, you don't hear too often that St Mirren get bullied. So I think he'll be very angry with that.
I think he would say two very different things. One thing in the dressing room and another thing to the press. I think Gordon's right. They're third in the league. They're in a semi-final. I don't think after one bad performance he's going to throw the boys under the bus.
Not like when he hooked you at half-time when you're returned to Motherwell.
I can't tell you what he's... I think he says, I'm doing you a favour.
Well, he done three of them a favour this afternoon.
Never to be seen again. Yeah. Was it one appearance when you came back or two?
I think I came off the bench for like 2 minutes or something.
I think that's what happened with Balakwisha at Celtic. I think Brendan Rodgers is saying, I'll do you a favour and not play you, and then they'll all see what you're like.
And actually, I think that, like I said, I think that's fine. The problem is, they're all being let down by the other circumstances. You should be allowed to try and use guys sparingly and get them up to speed. They did it with Nicholas Kuhn, but the problem is, that was a good Celtic team. That was a team that was functioning, so you could afford to do it. You can't afford to at the moment. because the spotlight goes on. Let's hear from Jim Goodwin, sorry, quickly, since we're on the topic of today's games, and we will bring in a Celtic fan. Take it away, Jim Goodwin.
Quite simply, first half wasn't good enough, and then second half was a lot better. You know, conditions probably played a part. There was quite a wind coming down the hill, and I think it showed, you know, in both halves. You know, Livingston had it in the first half, we had it in the second half. I sound like a broken record talking about the goal that we conceded again, you know, a real poor mistake from our point of view. We should deal with the first ball up the channel, and then we, you know, get caught out trying to be too clever, and it's a simple goal as far as Livingston are concerned. We don't seem to get those types of opportunities ourselves. We have to work hard for every goal that we get, and you know, far too often this season we've conceded needlessly, as far as I'm concerned. Second half was a lot better. You know, we were a lot more on the front foot. We were, you know, competing better in the middle of the park, picking up second balls, working the ball wide, getting into lots of dangerous areas. The only criticism possibly would be at times we didn't show enough quality in the final third when we got there. You know, our decision making in terms of the type of cross we were needing, whether it was a, you know, a cut back to the penalty spot or, you know, one flashed across the face. I felt when we got the equaliser, we were very much in the ascendancy, and I felt that if anyone was going to go and win the game, I felt it was going to be ourselves. But definitely, we feel as if it's, you know, a couple of points dropped.
That's a dream for you. A manager who references having the wind and shooting down the hill.
There you go.
Those are things that you bring up every single week without...
Yeah. Well, especially today with Storm Amy hanging about.
Honestly,
Scotland.
We've finally found one that agrees with you.
Exactly.
Scott is on the line. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right, guys. Hope you are all keeping all safe for the weather.
Yeah, yeah, on you go.
I've been on a few, well, you know, I'm a regular caller. I've been on a few times over the years, and sometimes you want to defend players, sometimes you can see why they're not playing well, or if the manager's not doing things. I think right now at present, it's about everything. Callum McGregor seems to be a guy that's getting a beating just now. Let's say something about Callum McGregor. Callum's actually an attacking midfield player that basically got through into that role when Scott Brown left it, obviously retired. Callum's a great player, but he's never been, in my opinion, he was always a goal-scoring midfield player. He played sort of the same role as what Tom Rogic would play, if you remember right, when Tom Rogic was in the team. Callum would maybe be in the team, or Stuart Armstrong. But he sort of inherited that role. So I'm going to give Callum a lot of slack. What I would have done, personally, I would have brought Arne Engels back into the team. Let him play, and then he's got a better range of passing, in my opinion, than Callum. Let Callum get a bit further forward, into that sort of area where Rio Itati's been playing, And that's another point as well. Rio Itati, picking the ball up for a goalkeeper, 80 yards from where he should be. I mean, I don't know what the manager's doing, the way he shapes the team up with formations. On Thursday night, he just threw everything at it. He just went, look, I'll go to three at the back. Something he's never done in all the time he's been here. I think he's done it maybe once. I think when we went down to 10 men at Ibrox in his first term. I've never seen him play three at the back under him. And then he just sort of all shape went out the team. I don't know where it's going wrong. Arne Engels is a strange one. Last season he was a first choice pick every week in the team, no matter what. Maybe dropped a couple of times when he was maybe looking a bit leggy. Then all of a sudden this season he's not even hardly started a game. That's a strange one. And same as Paolo Bernardo as well. Well used last season up until his injury. I think it was round about maybe January or February, and then he sort of also was out injured. But both the players played a lot of games last season. This season they've hardly started a game.
I know what you're saying about Callum McGregor, Scott, and I get that, you know, going back he was a bit more attacking, but Brendan Rodgers clearly really thinks he is a six, as did Ange Postecoglou, as did Steve Clarke at international level when surrounded by English Premier League midfielders. Callum McGregor is now he's a defensive midfielder. There can't be much doubt about that.
But you don't think when he's taking so much criticism at present, maybe moving him a bit further forward, take him out the firing line a wee bit, ask him to do less running, maybe be a bit more attack minded would maybe help him.
Whatever
player to be out the team.
Wherever Brendan Rodgers turns, though, there's not an answer for him. You know, if you take Hatate, Paolo Bernardo, McGregor, Engels, McCowan, Nigrin, none of them mm-hmm. has shown much this season at all.
Scott, do you remember the Old Firm game at Ibrox last season?
Yep.
You remember Arne Engels playing number six?
Yep. Yeah, it didn't work.
And he was like a fish out of water. Yeah, you're now asking for him to be played as a number six.
I think Bernardo can play
that. He has to be playing one game, but has to be playing one game. See, Gordon, you hit the nail on the head earlier on. Can't you just throw somebody in after being out the team for weeks and you say, by the way, go and play well tonight? How does that work? If you've known the guy all season, where has his mind going to be when you've said all season since the start of the season you're not good enough to play any games, then you throw him in?
I take your point about McGregor. I think McGregor's a good enough player to play anywhere, but you're right when you say that most managers play him as that number six, you know, dictating the play off the defenders.
One of the eights, is that any less running?
No, but I think McGregor in a forward position, he can get goals.
I know,
but
Scott's saying if you take him at the final line, play him as one of the other ones that maybe run less, but I don't think those
run
less.
More running.
But I think in the eight, and listen, I'm not saying right or wrong, but in the eight, I think he's good enough with the ball at his feet, he can find the killer passes easier. That's the only benefit for me.
I think Paolo Bernardo can do that role the way Callum McGregor does. And I know he's not in form, but I think what you end up finding is maybe a bit like James Tavernier. See, when you get that, you're the captain and there's a bit more profile and a bit more expectation and you've been at a level and you drop off it, but you then find out that you don't know what you've got till it's gone, sort of thing.
Is it not
the case that even an out of form Callum McGregor is still maybe by a distance the best holding midfielder Celtic?
Callum McGregor still is a brilliant player for Celtic. There's no doubt in that. Nobody's questioning that. But you're not telling me at Celtic, especially at Celtic Park, Bernardo, with the ability he's got, can't get in play a six. I think he could. I'm not saying I'm not arguing that he's better than McGregor at it, but I'm saying that Bernardo is capable of doing it.
I think the reference that Brendan Rodgers made to, I need to find solutions for this, was very open and honest of him, because he knows that, you know, the game is peaks and troughs, and right now Celtic are in a trough. They're shaky in goal, shaky at fullback. The midfield's not, no matter which trio he puts together, they don't hit the right notes. And Tunekte up front is the only bright spark, although Iheanacho does show an eye for a goal if he gets the service. So, starting tomorrow, Brendan has to find a solution to the midfield problem. McGregor will stay, undoubtedly. It's who plays alongside him, because all of the players, including Paolo Bernardo, including Engels, no one has shown yet that they are a must-have in the team.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Callum McGregor's undroppable. He shouldn't be, Ross. No one should be, but it feels like there's maybe more of a relevant conversation is, should Celtic have started succession planning now? Should there be someone who can be drip-fed in? And maybe that is what we're seeing tomorrow. Maybe the longer-term thinking of what happens next is more relevant than sort of take him out of the team right now.
No, listen, there's definitely an argument for that, but when you, if you take someone like Lennon Miller, for talking sake, how do you sell that to someone? Look, you know, we're preparing for the future here. You're eventually going to replace Callum McGregor, but you're not going to do it right now. You might get a game here and there. Good players ain't going to go for that. But for me, watching Celtic, Callum McGregor is absolutely integral. The way he dictates the game, the pace of the game, I think there's other areas that need to be addressed a lot more than Callum McGregor. For me, if it's energy that you want in that midfield area, there's one player who shows it every single time he plays, is Luke McCown. I'm not saying he should be an absolute starter every day, every game for Celtic, but right now, if it's energy that you want, put him in the team. But I don't agree with, I definitely don't agree with Scott when he thinks.
Scott, would you change the goalkeeper, or is it too early for that? Scott, would you change the goalkeeper, or is it too early?
By a mile, I'd change him.
You would, yeah?
I'd change him tomorrow, straight away. I talk about players making mistakes.
Oh, I think Scott's line's breaking up a wee bit there. Oh, sorry, on you go. Got you now.
Before the season started. They're bringing this boy along and giving him 2 seasons.
But then the bit about, you know, shouldn't have even started the season's maybe
harsh
when he has had some good games this season, Gordon.
Yeah, he certainly has. He's a top quality goalkeeper, has been, Gordon, but when you're a goalkeeper and you start making one or two mistakes, it gets highlighted more than any other position on the pitch.
Particularly first half against Braga, he was alarming. The goal he lost was alarming. His distribution of the ball was alarming. Just looked at him and thought, whatever happened to you?
Thank you, Scott. What about Tom, who's a St Mirren fan? Disappointing one today, Tom.
Very disappointed. I couldn't emphasise Simon's comment at the start of the programme, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Said that we were brilliant. We weren't brilliant. We just had an off day. Two bad results in 18 games. That's not a bad record for the someone at the start of the season. The start of the season we had Rangers, Hibs, Celtic. That's a great start of the season. Two defeats in 18 games, Gordon.
Yeah, that's the thing. Stephen Robinson and this team's got so much goodwill in the bank, don't they? That it's not even close to being something that you would panic about yet, is it?
No, I think we're playing well. In fact, as I say to the producer, we had a bad game. One bad game doesn't make us a bad team.
I don't think anyone would really agree with that. Off because they lost against Kilmarnock.
No, they're semi-final of the cup as well, Gordon, with a great opportunity to get to the final. You can throw Motherwell into that as well, Tom, a good Motherwell side. Look, St Mirren ain't going to go through every game in the season playing really well and being very difficult. They're going to have an off day. So is every other team in this league. There's no doubt about that. But the one thing is they've got a very good manager, they've got a good squad. They'll have been disappointed today, but take nothing away from Kettlewell and Kilmarnock. Brilliant for them. And then they just need to bounce back in the next game.
Taking one afternoon in isolation. Two wins in 18, as Tom says, or two defeats in 18. Fine, great. But one afternoon in isolation, they go two down, and by the 63rd minute, the manager has changed half of the outfield. He's taking off five players and put another five on. So one afternoon in isolation, St Mirren were overrun and the manager will be overwrought.
Thank you very much to Tom. We'll get kick-off in the Edinburgh Derby and more of your calls if you so fancy when we come back.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Here comes kick-off in the Edinburgh Derby. Hearts against Hibs, the league leaders, the champions elect, as Hugh Evans is calling them. So we can't wait to witness the first stages of that one. And then, of course, whatever happens, the guys will look back on it tomorrow. Chelsea have gone one up on Liverpool in spectacular fashion. If you're keeping an eye on that one as well. But, of course, forget that stuff. Edinburgh Derby is for us. Who did the best with the predictions today?
Yeah, mate.
What did you get?
Two.
Two out of three. What was your... Sure, you're working. You predicted
Partick to draw and Kilmarnock to win.
Great shouts from you, actually. So I'll let you off with not getting the other one.
I got all three wrong.
Shock.
Yeah.
Ross?
I can't remember.
Well, you took St Mirren. There you go.
Oh, that sums
up. I got the first one right, a draw.
Oh, what one?
Dundee United and Livingston.
No, you did not.
I did.
Anyway,
I swear.
What are you going for the Edinburgh Derby?
The champions elect.
Hearts to win at home?
Yes.
Hibs have won the last two derbies. He's going Hearts this one. What are you saying?
I think it'll be a scoring draw.
Ross McCormack.
I've got to go the other side of the fence, haven't I? Hibs on the counter attack. Bowie and Boyle. Hibs the win.
Hibs away at Tynecastle. Interesting. Right, whilst we get that game started, and I'll keep you up to speed on anything you need to know in the early stages. We just had a St Mirren caller. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. He can't have been too impressed with that today.
63% possession have gone nowhere. That's what it was. It was everything we're not. You know, we work on having control of the game when we've earned the right to have control of the game. We never done that at any stage. We refused to deliver balls. You're playing on a horrible pitch, you know, horrendous weather, and they played it much better than us. You know, they went longer any time they got it. They went long, didn't take chances. They landed on second balls, and they scored two goals from it. You know, when we had possession of the ball, we didn't penetrate. We went round and round, which we work on to move them and then get down the sides of people. So everything we're good at, we didn't do. So when you do that, which doesn't happen very often for us, then you lose football matches.
It's not very often you see a manager, you'll use all these subs by 63 minutes, 16. Did that just sum up how you were feeling?
Yeah, and rightly or wrongly, you know, whether that was right or wrong, we just felt that we weren't getting anything. You know, we were, as I say, we hadn't earned the right to play and pass the ball around at the back. We usually turn people around, we put balls into the box, we refuse deliveries, we refuse zone two runs, and then we just kept going back round again instead of hurting them. When we spoke about, and everybody knows and they all agree afterwards, was it's all we spoke about before the game. Play the conditions. It can't be perfect, it'll be a horrible game. They played the conditions much better than us. They went long, they landed on seconds, their striker gave them a platform I thought was excellent all day, and you lose games if you don't play to your strengths, and we certainly didn't do that today.
I think that was a sanitised version of what he said to the players in the dressing room. That's it, dressed up for public consumption. And to his credit, no attempt whatsoever to look for a get-out clause anywhere. Two sentences I wrote down: everything went wrong, number one. And number two, everything we're good at, we didn't do. So that sums up a 2-0 defeat away from home.
It sums up football to me. Going very well in the league and going very well in the cup semi-final against Motherwell. And they go down to an informed Kilmarnock after a great win up at Tannadice. Doesn't go well for you. That's football. I totally agree. I think by the time he gets home tonight, has his dinner, he'll have totally written that off, looking forward to the next game.
Gary, sorry Hugh, I was going to bring in Gary because we're actually getting a bit close to the end of the show all of a sudden. Gary's a Celtic fan. What are you thinking about tomorrow, Gary?
Well, after during the week, normally last season I'd be quite positive, however, but I still think we'll win tomorrow, but there's massive problems like at Celtic right now, but I think like it's like a wee bit diminished by the fact that the problems at Rangers. So, but that watch during the week was a hard watch, to be honest.
I think Gary makes the most salient point of all there. If Rangers were cruising under Russell Martin and were on top of the league, other than Hearts being top of the league, the Celtic fans would be in uproar. Absolute uproar. But they're consoled by the fact that Rangers are even worse than they are.
Hugh, this is why I'm surprised with the situation across the city. I think if they were to change the manager and do it soon, Celtic are there to be caught.
Yeah. And I mean, Gary was there midweek. Gary's a Celtic fan. He's trusting the evidence of his own eyes. This is a team that's gone seriously off the boil. I repeat, the goalkeeper's a worry. The fullbacks are a worry. The midfield has lost all creativity. Your best hope is Tunekti up front. And I hope that Iheanacho gets a goal that's not disallowed for being offside, or he is the victim of a fantasy VAR decision. Gary sees lots of problems and Gary's correct.
What about tomorrow, Gary? I think some of the debates there is about, you know, who to change and whether to change anyone. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I hope Luke McCown gets a start tomorrow, to be honest, because in my opinion, being a Celtic fan and watched all games, like, I just don't understand how he's not been given a run of games in the centre mid, especially because, as obviously everyone's noticed, like, Cal McGregor, obviously not his best. Negrin, Rodgers doesn't know where his best position is. Hatate has been miles off it. So, and then Bernardo comes out of the blue. So, if I was Luke McCown during the week, I would have been absolutely fuming. Like, because for me, we have absolutely zero legs in our midfield, which has been shown in abundance this full season. So tomorrow, I mean, I don't even know. As Hugh's right, during the week, the only player who has actually lit up the fans is Tunekti. And he looks an absolute player. He reminds me of Jota. But, like, look at the other side. Like, we brought in as 5 million on Bitwashi, who can't even go on the pitch. We're bringing on Forrest, although...
The guy I'm about to mention, Gordon, has been excellent, rejuvenated, and he's in really good form. We've had him in here, but still, Stephen O'Donnell's got a job in his hands against Sebastian Tunekti tomorrow.
Yeah, he's been the one bright spark, you've got to say, for Celtic. He's been absolutely brilliant for them. Yeah, it'll be a big ask tomorrow because Celtic will look to get the ball to him. Do you know something? We could sat here last year and probably pick 10 out of the 11 Celtic team players that's going to start the game nearly every week. It'll be interesting to see what...
But see, on that's what I was thinking when Gary was running through it. This is not a criticism of Gary. I'm taking all the points and together there now. So, Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate, Benjamin Negrin, they're all getting criticised. And Luke McCown, they need to pick three.
Yeah.
You know, like, they can't all be left out. So, I know people then get their different ideas on who should be left out, but the three of them need to play. So what does it look like?
Unless you go Ingles, Bernardo and McGinn.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But you can add in Maeda to that as well. He played out on the right. I feel sorry for him. He's not kicked. He's not kicked a ball. He's been played in different positions this season. A guy that won the Player of the Year by a country mile last year, all of a sudden, no form whatsoever. That's why I say it'll be interesting to see the starting 11 tomorrow at Celtic Park.
Final word on, it's 0-0 in Edinburgh Derby, by the way, 7.5 gone. The only shot has come from Hibs, although Hearts have had most of the ball, and nothing to tell you about really yet. Final, because we've done a few calls on Celtic there, Hugh, so before we go, final thoughts on Rangers tomorrow heading to Falkirk?
Well, you use the same expressions all the time, but it's a must-win game. You cannot afford to drop any points or the pandemonium level will rise. But he is in the most unique position of any Rangers manager in the club's history. He's totally unwanted by 100% of the support, but appears to have the backing of the people who own the club. The supporters don't like his style of football. They don't like the players who have been brought in. They don't like anything at all about Russell Martin. It has reached a totally irrational level where the chief executive and the director of football are now being approached by fans in public places and spoken to in a detrimental manner. They are a club in need of a positive turn of events. But the Rangers fans will go to Falkirk tomorrow with no sense of belief in anything connected with the club.
I don't think it'll be easy. Everybody's saying that Rangers need a real good performance and a real good win, 3-4-5. Now, I don't think that Rangers team have got it in them just now. I think they'll scrape a result. I think Falkirk will play their usual football. But I think Russell Martin needs to leave there tomorrow night. Tomorrow night with 3 points, Gordon.
I think he does. I think first half against Livingston, good. Second half against in Europe, again, good. I think they probably string 75, 80 good minutes together and win pretty comfortably tomorrow.
There you go. Well, you've heard it here first. Falkirk, a lot of plaudits for the way they came up, and I think they've been good enough in spells, and it was a nice opening day draw. They've obviously got the result up at Pittodrie and so on. You just wonder if last week at Tynecastle was just a sort of one-off or a sign that certain games in the Premiership are going to be pretty tough for
I thought it was a wake-up call for them. I think they'll look at it, and there's a lot of more games coming along like that. Look, you can't argue against Falkirk. John McLennan, the way he plays football, the team, everything about it, they've been brilliant. They've come through the divisions together, added one or two players into the squad. They've not got the guys that will score them the goals, and I think they'll concede goals. I think it's got to be a long, long season ahead for Falkirk.
Rangers struggled at Kilmarnock, Livingston rather, last Sunday. 94th minute goal tells you the extent of the struggle. If they struggle against Falkirk, then supporters are entitled to call here after the game, speak to Andrew McLean, and to call you on Monday night, speak to you and the panel, and say, how can those who own the club and those who direct the club's affairs possibly look at this and see nothing wrong?
A big, big day tomorrow. Neither Celtic or Rangers can really afford a disappointing day, dropped points, and yet Motherwell and Falkirk will be looking to do just that. Make sure you join Andrew McLean and the guys tomorrow afternoon. I will speak to you Monday night when we look back on it all, and in the meantime, you might as well stay right there. I know it's a miserable weekend, but there is one man tailor-made to cheer you all up and entertain you this Saturday night. It is at the GBX coming next.